there exists a subgroup, the nice guy. A dying breed of chivalrous, romantic, domesticated gentlemen whose qualities are desired by the opposite sex, allegedly. However, they are dismissed and confined in such concepts as the bestie, work husband, and the dreaded friend zone. Jason and Manny are the last of the nice guys.
Hello, everyone. I don't know what I want to say, but I do want to say that we are two episodes back-to-back in a row, so that's something. I'm not saying we recorded it back-to-back. I'm not saying we recorded it on the same day, but I am saying you have two amazing episodes. So this is part two of, or not part two, our second deep dive that I mentioned, well, not even deep dive, our second look at what is essentially us looking at, you know, B or C list celebrities who got caught up in some kind of woman drama. And it's something I wanted to talk about as we wait to reach the 100th episode, which again, we have some new updates about Joe and we will get to that in time, but it looks like we will be reaching the 100th episode sometime next month, maybe over the summer. And then we will have regular episodes and we may actually get a way to get him back on this full time.
Mind you, I think we've already recorded over 200, but we're just.
I don't think we've reached 200. We're probably at 150. Probably. I don't even think so. You think we did 50 episodes between 99 and now?
No.
I'll check. I don't think so. I'll check.
We've done several special episodes.
No. The special episodes, they don't count. That's why you should call them specials. They don't count. Anywho. Today's topic is the Akash Singh, just pure debacle. And this one I actually wrote notes on because I've been following this for months because I'm just so fascinated by the absolute travesty that is this man and this woman and this marriage, at least as it is showcased online. And I was like,
you see my feelings on this.
I do. I absolutely do. Even though, I don't know. Regardless. So let's get into it. Manny, unlike the ABBA stuff, how much of this do you know?
I know, I've heard, I've seen.
You saw it. You saw it.
Yeah, I saw a couple of stuff on this, which is what brings me to this because, you know, her opening her mouth makes her equal this. Right? And then her opening her mouth and him allowing this makes him this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
I mean, but look at it this way. He is arguably an average looking Indian guy, and she is almost objectively an incredibly attractive woman. So,
which on my character, they both look attractive. So don't let that fool you.
Correct. So I'm not saying that Akash is an unattractive guy. Actually, no. He's serviceable. He's not, what do we call it? An adjustable six or whatever. I'm an adjustable seven. Thank you very much. And Manny's just a hard 10.
I'm just an adjustable.
No, he's an adjustable hard 10. He's a hard 10.
I'm just adjustable. Yeah. I range.
Hard 10. But so you know, I can see that. Like, he's probably thinking like she's the best that he can get. But that's regardless. Let's get into it. I'm gonna break it down for those who don't know anything about this. We're gonna break it down. You're gonna see why I was gonna call you ABBA. Why, he says man there. You might want to change that. Why Manny has labeled him as such in his background. So let's go right through it. This Akash is a comedian. You know, he actually just recently sold out Radio City Music Hall, I think. And he is like on the Flagrant podcast with, I forget what his name is.
Andrew Schultz.
Okay. I didn't know anything about any of these guys. Any of them until this shit went down. Let's just keep it real. And but basically, Akash has portrayed his wife in the most virtuous, innocent, virgin way, pretty much mostly. I don't know if it's a podcast episode where he invited Fresh and Fit, yeah, I'm bringing them up again, onto his podcast. And he basically clowned them, saying, you guys are a joke and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, Fresh and Fit really loved this crap and they threw it back at him. But anyway, he portrayed her as very innocent, very virtuous, very, very. And especially that she was a virgin. Okay. That all that's going to be in contest when we get through everything. So you'll see that in my background, there is her and another girl. That's their podcast. I forget what the name of their podcast was called. Oh, the main character podcast. Yeah.
Not important.
Oh, it is important. This is where it began. So basically what happens is on this podcast, she talks a lot of smack, a lot of privileged smack. And what really caught her attention is that she was gushing over her co-host's husband, like gushing over him actively and saying it on air, actively trying to pursue an orgy with them because she was so interested in the guy. She basically said that she I quote, that she's absolutely sure that her husband's dick is 10 inches. She said this on the podcast, right? And then in that same episode brings out both Akash and the husband. The husband's name is Nav. And she's just giving him the looks, the business. And she clearly has the hots for the guy. Clearly, you know, it doesn't mean she's going to act on it that we're aware of. But clearly, this is for in front of her husband. So that's where it began. And then when people started looking into who she really is and what's really going on, they go to her TikTok, and her TikTok is more foul stuff, you know, foul in general. For example, she's telling stories about whoring around and I wouldn't say whoring around, but having a stable or a roster of men that she'd rotate through in these white boy frat houses. She has two butt stories with guys. She has a guy going down on her story post her period. She has these, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you think, and I'm not
very
being
raunchy stuff.
Very raunchy stuff, and then very privileged stuff. My man buys me this stuff. She says things like my money is my money, his money is my money, she might be joking. I don't know. She's very consistent with this messaging. I want to make it very clear, very consistent with this messaging. So I don't know. Anywho, I digress. She has these foul and really deep stuff, you know, deeply, you know, troubling things for apparently a virtuous married woman who's posted on her TikTok. So those started, right? That's turning some heads. So they go even deeper to look. And then they have you seen the supercut of every time he tries to kiss her, she turns her face and he kisses the cheek?
Yep.
Bro, it doesn't happen one time. It happens in every video. Every single video, even the video when he proposes to her and the video where he reproposes to her with an even bigger ring, she turns her face, you know, and when I start turning her face, he goes in for the kiss. She does this each time.
Yeah, it's not even like a subtle whatever. It's just straight.
Yeah. And it's funny because she's got it to an art. Like, she'll turn just as he leans in. It's not like last minute. It's like as soon as he starts leaning, she goes, it's And he seems to be fine with it. I would have grabbed her cheek and said, give me a real kiss. What are you doing? You know, and I understand PDAs is hard for some people. PDAs is weird for some people. It is. I get it. But it doesn't, I can't rectify that between you being able to tell stories about guys going down on you and getting period blood in their mouth. I don't know. It's if you can't kiss your partner in person, you shouldn't be able to go on the internet and tell these really raunchy stories about your sex life. I don't see it. Is it two different things? I don't know. I think a kiss with your significant other is far less personable than the shit you're putting on TikTok and talking about on TikTok, whether you're joking or not. And then, of course, they said, okay, well, but she has no problem showing affection to her dogs online and in person. So it literally seems like it's just husband.
There's a super cut where She turns her cheek to her husband, but she like open mouth kisses her dogs and she
on camera. Ridiculous. Yeah. So well, you know, the love of a pet is different than the love of a parent. I said, no, if you are uncomfortable with PDA, then you're uncomfortable with PDA.
Yeah.
And usually that stems more from it goes further, not talking about sex, not looking, you know, all that stuff. It usually goes a little further than just I don't want to kiss my partner in person, in public or on camera. It seems like that's what it is. Her PDA lives exclusively with kissing her husband on camera. That's what it seems like, or in public in general. So even when she doesn't realize the camera's on her. So I think it's kind of weird. I would love to see. I don't know if I ever saw their wedding. If they have a wedding video out there, because you do know you have to kiss when you say I do. Yeah. Did she do it? And if she did do it, That doesn't change anything. It just means that she'll do it when she knows she has to do it to save face. So I don't know. So that's the orgy nonsense on the podcast. That's the TikTok videos. That's the turning the heads. Very materialistic. This girl is very materialistic. You know, the high life. She'll post things on what he's bought her, what she wants, what she demands. The girl's very materialistic. That's it. Whether she has earned that right or not, I don't know. But she's made it very clear that she's not the traditional stay-at-home wife. We'll get to it, but where she basically says, he said something like, when they were on a podcast together, you know, he's like, well, when I come home, the house is really clean. I don't know if you hire somebody, but if not, but it's very clean. She admitted, well, I hire somebody. He goes, no, seriously, you do? Like, he didn't even know that she hires somebody to clean the house. She doesn't clean the house. She doesn't do anything at all. She doesn't work. He does. He goes on the road. He just hangs around and spends his money. That's the impression that not only that I have, but that she gives. Okay. So this is all going down, right? This is all going down, and the internet is blowing up. Okay. They decide to go on the Flagrant podcast to address all of this, and they make it a big joke. And it didn't work out. It was a big fail. The excuses that she gave for the things that she said, well, she said it was hyperbolic. She said she was just being a satire of herself and X, Y, and Z, that a roster of men didn't mean a roster. It meant two people. What did she say? Popping her pussy in these white boy frat houses just meant dancing around. And to her credit, when you do Google popping your pussy, that's what it says. It says you're just hanging out. It does say that, but clearly that's not what she meant. And, you know, the other stories, like, you know, and she was like, yeah, and the orgies, why would you say that about the orgies? He's like, well, I was thinking it was going to be all of us. It was a joke. Again, crazy. The comment section of that was trash. And then Akash pretty much disappeared from the Flagrant podcast after that for a while. They said he was in Egypt. It was a pre-planned trip. He was very, very, very busy. What's the fallout? Well, they basically called him the new Will Smith. They called her Jada Pinkett Singh. So she was called Jada Pinkett Singh. Okay. And she on TikTok, she doubles down and triples down on her messaging, saying, you guys don't know me. How dare you judge me and judge what it is. And if we're okay with it, why aren't you, you know, then you don't need to be okay with it. And you're absolutely right. I totally agree with that. However, you're being judged based on the content you've put out there and that you've consistently put out there and that you consistently are doubling down on, tripling down on it and reinforcing. When you put yourself out there as a public figure, you're going to get scrutinized. Yep. Simple as that.
Yep.
And
whether it's right, good, bad, up, correct, down, left, right, doesn't matter. Somebody's always got something to say about it. And
that's
the majority,
right,
of the people are going to say the same thing over and over again.
That's right. That's right. And lastly, we just got word that Akash has left the Flagrant podcast completely.
Yep.
He didn't come on the podcast. Andrew Schultz just said it, and they had like a whole postmortem about him leaving the podcast. And if anybody knows about my podcast, any co-hosts that left, they just left. They just disappeared. And clearly it was for reasons. If it was a positive mutual break, you would think that he would come on the podcast and say, hey guys, thanks for your support. I got other things going on. I want to focus on other things. I love this podcast and I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? They just basically said it without him. So clearly that's part of the fallout, whether they kicked him out or whether he felt a certain way because, you know, the groups was making fun of him. But that's part of comedy, you know, especially Andrew Schultz. He was making fun of him. But I would, too. I mean, because you're watching your boy, or maybe they had an intervention. And I know about these kind of interventions. They don't really work out, where they said, listen, your wife's a terrible person. You need to walk away from her. You need to leave her. You know, and he probably didn't agree. And who knows? I'm okay. Of course, I am speculating. But the glaring red flag is that he wasn't there. He hasn't been there. He hadn't been there for months. And then he never came back to say bye to anybody who was watching it for him or any of the fans or just for continuity or you know what I'm saying? Sake. That's it. That's where we are now. So that's the whole thing. That's all my notes. I know I ran through it really fast and as much, a little bit more than I didn't get into. But First, I'm going to get your response, Manny, before I give my response. What do you think about this whole absolute nonsense? No dead air.
It wasn't dead air. It was a very deep breath to get my
your thoughts together.
My thoughts and my demons out. listen, there's no woman in the world. I don't give a damn who, what numbers you land on the scale, how great your vajayjay is, what you look like, how you are as a person. There's no woman in the world. I don't give a damn how many positive traits you are.
Woman.
If you open your mouth publicly and talk trash to your husband or significant other,
She said his dick stinks.
Oh, she said a lot of shit. You're trash. I'm sorry. And the fact that any man stays around,
yeah,
for whatever reason,
yeah,
you're a simp. Like I said in the beginning of this, before we started, this is exactly how I feel right here. She's trash. He's a damn simp. There's no reason, you know, because if she's saying it openly in public. I can only imagine.
I knew you were going there. I knew you were going there.
You know, off camera, behind doors or whatever. And I'm pretty sure the face that he has on your screen, I'm sure he wakes up like that every day. Like, another day.
After this, yeah. We're back. I'm having a really rough time with this free Zoom. And look, I'm not being cheap. I tried to upgrade it. I use 4 cards, ladies and gentlemen. And it keeps telling me, no, contact your bank or call if the thing persists, send us a request. I sent them a request. I don't know what's going on. I'm not broke. I just don't know why it's not accepting any of my cards. So shut the fuck up. So we still have 40 minutes to go. I think the last thing we said was we were asking for your opinion on it. Go.
Yeah, I was going on a tangent about how much trash she is. I don't remember where I was going with it.
You're supposed to remember this stuff.
You know how long ago this was? Okay.
That was five minutes.
It was not 5 minutes. It was longer than that, sir. But anyways, so the way I was going was any person, and this might be reiterating what I said before it was cut off. Any person that opens the mouth the way that she has makes her trash.
Yes,
there's no reason why you should be in a relationship publicly degrading your significant other, spouse, whatever you.
But it's comedy.
If it's comedy, sure. She's not doing it for comedic purposes, though.
But she said she was. She said she was just being a comedian.
She's a damn liar.
And being as raunchy as her husband. She said she learned her comedy from her husband and Andrew Schultz, which is very raunchy comedy. That's what she said. Not that she's blaming them or anything.
She's a damn liar. And then the other side of the coin that I was saying was any man or person that allows such behavior to happen makes them a simp right here. Yeah. Simp. And it shouldn't be allowed. That makes the relationship very problematic.
You said it shouldn't be allowed.
Shouldn't be allowed. No,
who are you? Who are you?
No, well, she should dictate. She should get a ruler to her ass. Anyways.
Damn. I've seen a lot of them.
If she's doing this publicly on an open mic and in front of a video, I was also mentioning before it was cut off that I can only imagine how she is with him, you know, behind closed doors, off camera, and whatever. And I also attested to your picture that he probably wakes up with that expression and all day, like, I got to deal with this another day of me.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think she gives it up to him? Do you think he gets any?
It probably costs him.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say prostitution.
Transactional. Oh my God. Did I lose you? Manny, you froze. Oh crap. We are not meant to record today. I think let me get on the phone and see if he's still there before I close this out. Manny, I'm still podcasting right now, and I'm wondering. Oh, there you are. Okay, now I'm not going to say this anymore. There you go. You froze for a minute.
Well, yeah, my internet connection is unstable.
Okay.
Where did I stop at? I'm sorry.
Oh, you stopped that. Yeah, that you think is going to cost him something. You said you don't want to say prostitution, and then I said transactional.
Right. I don't want to say borderline prostitution, but if you're in a marriage and
if the shoe fits,
this is the kind of shit that you have to do to get some from your significant other.
But is not dating just prostitution with extra steps? The guy's taking the girl out. He's paying. He's going to get to know her.
They're married, bro. That's
what is not marriage an end game of dating? So if the foundation, hold on now. All right, there we go. If the foundation of marriage is an engagement, and the engagement is a foundation, and the foundation of engagement is a relationship, and the foundation of a relationship is dating, and dating's foundation is transactional. I take you out, I pay, you like me, you give me sex. Is that not the natural progression?
Dare you say that all women are prostitutes in all of these scenarios, sir?
All I'm saying is that dating is prostitution with extra steps. That's
all
it.
I'm saying.
Extra steps and maybe in many cases some feelings and emotions, but in the end,
dating, sure, it could be viewed in that aspect, but marriage should not be.
I became cynical as hell.
Marriage should be it's more transactional than it is prostitution at that point, which any married man can attest to. But it's horrible, man. Like, can you imagine waking up every day and like, I wonder what bullshit my wife is gonna say today? Like,
In this case, I did not yell into my phone and say, I know. No, I couldn't. It's pure. Pure hell. If how she purports portrays herself online is how she is in real life, and I can't see
or worse
how this guy can survive just because, oh my god, she's friggin' fine as hell, you know.
She really isn't, though. I don't find her attractive. Listen, she's attractive,
but
she's not attractive enough for that.
No,
I'm gonna put up with your bullshit. No.
It's funny. If
she came out of character, I would have been like, I'm out this bitch.
No. It's true. She's one of those kind of attractive girls that when she opens her mouth, she immediately becomes unattractive. There's some girls that are so attractive when they open up their mouth, you can still be like, man, she's dumb as fuck, but I'll still hit that. She's one of those kind of attractive girls where when she opens up her mouth, you've lost all attraction. You're like, oh, ew. So yeah, I agree. I'm not saying she's like a 10, you know, she's an adjustable 8, in my opinion. But she's attractive. Is she attractive enough to go through all of that?
Nope.
No. But I don't think it's just the attractiveness. I think it's A, he's in love, and B, he believes she's the best he can get.
But even if that's the case, and I hate to say it like that, you can probably find an uglier girl that will treat you 10 times better than her, 100 times better than her.
I don't, but you know, it depends on what the best you can get means. Is it physical? Is it emotional? Is it sexual? You see what I'm trying to say? So if you're talking about that, supportive and nurturing or whatever, then yes, you're absolutely right. But it all depends upon what is the best that you can get. What does that mean to him? Kind of a thing. And of course, he told this story where when he was down and out and he was broke, she didn't leave him. She kind of stayed by his side. And he realized, you know what? This is a ride or die chick. I'll never find another ride or die chick like her. I mean, this story, though, is in question.
I was going to say, how truthful is that?
Because yeah, the story's in question. He says that, but then there's an interview where she says that, yeah, during that time when he was broke, they did break up, and that she came back around when he started making money again. So the story is in question because he tends to romanticize the story and she tends to like belittle all of it. So,
you know, delusion is a thing, right? He's probably so freaking delusional and I don't even know what just happened there.
I knocked out the cord to this. So I lost my audio. And listen, guys, I know. Oh, my God, it's a cord. I did buy a Bluetooth wireless headset to start doing this. And the audio sounded awful and I didn't like it. So I actually ended up giving it away. I liked what the audio sounds out of this. It could be that the audio in the new headphones that I ordered is better. but it just sounded weird to me. I just didn't like the way it sounded with editing and with podcasting. So I'm sticking with my little cord one here. This thing is old as dog shit, but anyway.
I mean, mine is corded. You just can't see it because it's in my ear.
Oh, but, oh.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, but yours is a headset. Yeah, so it works.
But yeah. No, it's not a headset. It's just it just wraps.
Oh, an earpiece. Oh, fancy. I fancy.
Just wraps around my ear. But like I was saying, delusion is a real thing, and he's probably delusionized his relationship with his wife.
Romanticized. He's a hopeless romantic.
He's a delusional romantic. There's a whole different factor to this because he probably what we're seeing as a horrible thing. What we're seeing as 10 horrible things. He's probably looking at it as, well, there's that one thing.
Well, yeah, isn't that what we sometimes call the battered wife syndrome, where the wife is being battered by her husband, you know, and she it's the cycle of oh my God, I just heard it. It's a cycle of some kind of roller coaster ride where it's so bad, but you're waiting out because you know that the highs are so high, and then the lows are low again, but you know that the highs exist. So you kind of go through the muck. It's kind of like going through a mine.
It's almost as bad as he beats me up, but he tells me he loves me. It's called delusional. You know,
he beats me up, but he tells me he loves me, and he brings me cake, and he bandages me up, and he brings me and he brings me gifts, kind of a thing. Like that's kind of what it is.
That's called delusion, which very many of these people suffer from.
Yes, I agree.
I'm sorry, you can't romanticize somebody talking shit about you. Constantly intriguing.
Oh, of course you can. She's doing it for satire. She's just playing fun. She's emulating my comedic style. There are ways that a simp or delusional guy or a guy who feels like he's got nothing better can do to rationalize. Okay, I don't know about you. I've been a victim, not a victim. I've been guilty of this. I've dated subpar women and I have rationalized their behavior away many, many times. I have that story where I was dating a girl and we were sharing my car for a summer because her car got, I didn't know at the time, repossessed. She had my car on my birthday. Not only did she not come and return my car for my birthday, she didn't show up to give me a ride to my impromptu birthday party. She didn't show up to my impromptu birthday party. And I didn't hear from her again until the following day when she had to return the car to me because she knew I had to go to work. She claimed she fell asleep or her friend never showed up, whatever it was. Mind you, you know, that was one of those I'm dating her, she's not dating me kind of things. Do you think I ended it at that moment or stopped it at that moment? No, it was at least a month later. And guess what? I wasn't the one who ended up ending it. She's the one that said, you know what? I think we're better off as friends. And I said, I disagree. This is stupid. What are we doing? And that's after her entire world got fixed, thanks in large part to me. So, you know, that was simp behavior. And old Jason, hands down, the nice guy Jason was a simp. Before he even knew what that word was, that's exactly what he was. But I rationalized that girl's behavior. And everybody, even the new people at that party, were like, where's this girl? Where's your car? Where's this girl? Where's your car? And I was just like, you know, kind of a thing. And I was there. I got a ride. But, you know.
Do you think the women that I deal with today are like that when I smack them around for sandwiches?
Yes. Because they know that even though you smack them around for sandwiches, that you're still funny, you're kooky, and you'll be nice to them. And that the highs are so high, it's worth the low lows.
Am I having a realization right now?
Yes, you are. Come to Jesus moment. Hallelujah. So you in this situation, you're the trash.
Let's just get it straight here. I ain't going to stop bashing these women.
Okay.
You make daddy a sandwich.
See?
You ain't going to catch these.
See? Guys. And that's exactly what Jazlyn did. She doubled down and tripled down. See? You're exactly right. See? There you go. Come on. Two snaps. There you go. I got you, sister. But anyway.
This is such a problematic and delusional situation.
Like, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no reason to continue anything for like. When it comes to a marriage, and I hate to say it in this manner.
Well, you get to say it. You were married.
Yeah. Each person in the marriage needs to think about how this marriage elevates my life. And I don't mean elevates like, oh, does it make me a better, like a business partner or anything? Like, in what way does this marriage elevate me spiritually? I guess you can say, like spiritually, mentally, financially, because you can, in a lot of relationships, you can learn from each other when it comes to like wanting
transactional.
In a form, yes, there's a transactional situation when it comes to marriages and everything. But it, in far most, it should be how it elevates me as a person and in my life. And I don't mean like selfishly. I mean like, how are we doing this together? You know, because that's what marriage is. It's a partnership between two fucking people. Let's just call it what it is.
Right.
And it can't be done and it can't work unless both parties are, you know, putting effort into it. But if your relationship is like, because the other part of it is they're saying that she's saying all these things out of satire. He hasn't said anything like this about her. I don't understand.
The only thing he does say about her is I want to say like it's like he jokes around about how gold digger-ish she might be, kind of a thing. So like he's like, but in a self-deprecating kind of way, kind of like he says my wife is so perfect or whatever that once I know she starts looking around or starts he says once she starts like kind of like giving me a hard look, I throw another bag at her face. Just so she doesn't realize she deserves more or better, something like that. So he kind of, that's kind of like how, I'm telling the joke that's, really badly.
It's
self-deprecating.
A joke, but it's a soft blow compared to what the fuck comes out of her mouth.
Oh no, of course, absolutely. Hands down.
If they have that kind of relationship publicly with each other, I wouldn't say two words about it at all because they're just both infringing on each other's mental health at this point. But it's all her degrading him and belittling him,
right?
And he's just sitting there with a damn smile on his face. My wife's
well, he's sitting. Wait, see, I can't do it the way you do it. There you go. That's what he's looking like. That's no smile.
But he doesn't always look like that. And when you ask him, he looks like this.
Because it's a hell of a thing to wake up one day and have the entire internet calling your wife a whore and a gold digger. You know, not only does it look bad, you know, on your marriage and her, but it looks bad on you because you chose her. You're sticking by her. And is he doing the right thing by sticking by her as a husband? I think so. Is he doing the right thing as a man for himself? Absolutely not.
No.
So that's the thing, though. Where do we draw the line? He's being a good husband by walking away from the podcast, from defending her. Well,
I read the article on the reason why he left the podcast. Apparently, okay, he's blown up so much this year on his comedic tour that his main focus this year.
That's what Andrew Schultz said. He's doing a lot of big things. But again, if that's the truth, why wouldn't you come on the podcast one last time, have a farewell episode, and just tell them this? Why does your buddy or your co-host or the main host have to be like, kind of like what we've been doing with Joe? It's kind of like what we've been doing with Joe. We've been giving excuses about why he's not around, but if he's really gonna leave, you know, if I came on here and said, you know what, guys, you know, forget Joe. Joe's never coming back. It's just gonna be me and Manny, right? Or I never mention him again. That's why I bring him up occasionally, let you guys know he's still around. He's still in the podcast chat. If that means anything, he's just not able to get on, and we get him on when I can, you know. But if I would just all of a sudden stop talking about him, or I came on here and said, hey guys, you know, elephant in the room, you know, Joe hasn't been here in 100 episodes, and we're not talking about him anymore. He, you know, he's pursuing law enforcement. He really needs to focus on that. So take care. Then you guys know for a fact some shit went down off air. We ain't talking anymore. We ain't friends anymore. We ain't talking. Okay. Okay. We don't talk anymore. Or it's somebody that I used to know. Whatever it is. That's the truth.
But it got emotional and I didn't like it.
Correct. But if he really is like, listen, guys, I love you guys. I really can't do this. I would say, guess what, Joe? You need to make time to come on the podcast and say goodbye to all three of our listeners. Okay. You need to say goodbye to them. And then that's it. Go off into the sunset. But if, you know what I'm saying? So if he didn't do that, he's not that busy. I'm sorry. He's not that busy where he can't, or he's not, or they can't figure out where he comes back and does a farewell episode. They do this all the time, all the time. This is weird. So no.
Yeah.
No. Something went down behind the scenes. They're probably not cool anymore. And it's probably because either they had an intervention with him, or they kept on talking smack about him, as comedians do, about his wife. Because Andrew Schultz definitely went on the one of the, I forget, what's his name? The black guy, big buff black guy. I don't know. He went on there and the joke is, keep your wife off the internet. Like, that's the joke right now. Like don't give her a mic, you know, kind of a thing. And I agree. So maybe he, because guess what? This podcast, I mean, the main character podcast, that's over too. And she did an interview saying that they don't talk anymore, right? They weren't really that close to begin with, but they don't talk anymore. And she made it very clear that she contacted her and said that she was disappointed that she didn't come to her defense. She wasn't more supportive. And she disagreed. And now they're not cool anymore, kind of a thing. And that podcast, the main character podcast, gone, done. So we already know she messed up, you know, her thing with her. That's it. They're not cool anymore, or whatever. That's it. They don't talk. Period. And she made that, she had an interview where she said, yeah, it doesn't happen anymore, and that's how she felt. That's a micro symptom of probably what happened with the Flagrant podcast. Guaranteed. I would bet my next friggin' travel that's what happened. They probably spoke and said, listen, man, you didn't support me. I didn't like you make jokes. I don't believe it was a cautious idea to bring her on the Flagrant podcast. I think he was probably pressured, saying, bro, because from that on, all they saw was just comments about it. It was looking bad for the brand. You are now messing with the brand. You need to come do damage control. You're going to come on here. We're going to do a stunt. She's going to come on and we're going to clear the air and hopefully this works out. And it worked out terribly. He probably blamed them for that. And because he hadn't been on the podcast since that. He was embarrassed.
Of course.
You know?
You got the entire world talking about you and your wife and how you she basically has you simping out. Yeah, of course you're going to be embarrassed every fucking day. And he probably wakes up with that stupid fucking face of his on your screen.
Yep.
And he's just probably like, I don't know what to do with myself now.
They parted ways because of creative differences. You know that nonsense you get in Hollywood. When in reality, it means creative differences means some shit went down. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So clearly, and I respect how they went about it. They were very respectful about it. They reminisced about it. But again, it was clear as day. Clear as day. Something else went down because he wasn't there for that. They're talking sweet stuff. They're reminiscing about things. Oh, blah, blah, blah. He should have been, even if he wasn't there for the whole podcast, show up for that 10-minute, 15-minute spot and ride off into the sunset. You didn't have to be there for the whole time. Nah, something went down. She ruined that.
Especially when you got a show coming up at
Is it Radio City?
Yeah, Radio City Music Hall.
And apparently they went to it, right? But he didn't call out anybody. Like, he called out some people, but he did not show any love to them. There's no pictures of him behind the scenes with them. None of that, apparently. He had pictures behind the scenes of other people. Clearly, something went down. He's not happy with how that went down. And it's funny because that is a consequence of his own choices and his wife. It had nothing to do with them. And you lose that. It's kind of like losing a friend during a relationship. I don't know if you've lost friends. You know, I've lost a few friends because of poor relationships. And whether they're with them or not, our friendship is over because of that dumbass relationship that you are or were in. I don't know if you ever went through that.
I've lost relationships because many people don't believe in the fact that I deserve sandwiches and I be putting hands on people for these sandwiches. So it to me, if you just don't believe that, that's fine. Like, that's cool.
But I will say this, that your joke is hilarious, but you're doubling and tripling down so much that people are going to start to believe there's some truth behind it. I'm even wondering, why does he keep bringing this up? Is there something really going on? Did his ex-wife never give him a sandwich?
I really want to fuck a sandwich.
That is so funny. Clearly. I want to be very clear. One Thanksgiving, I brought this man food to his job, some leftovers. I brought it to his job.
I didn't beat him up for it.
Okay. And I went there and it was quite quite special. But anyway, I think it was
very special.
I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago.
I shed a tear.
But I know you got you've got like 6 minutes because this is not even the Zoom. It's because Mr. Manny actually has a life outside of this podcast. So I'd love some final thoughts. I'll just say I feel bad for him. I really, really, really think he should get away from her. I really do, or separate or whatever it is, because I think she's toxic. And of course, it's only based upon what I've seen. But again, this is what you're showing. Usually what you show in public is a watered down version of yourself. Just like Manny says, she's probably way worse at home, way more insufferable. And and he seems like a nice guy, and it sucks that nice guys get these things. And she rolled the dice. She's like, look, he's not that good looking. Look, he's kind of broke at the moment, but you know what? I think he's going to make it. And look, she rolled the dice. She won. But she is so, and mind you, she does not come from money. Apparently she's not that the audacity that she shows is organic for her. It's not from upbringing. It's not from old money. It's none of that stuff. I don't think she's a good person, from what I can tell. And even when she's trying to explain herself, she's not a good person. I don't know. And I really hope he won't. But I really hope he does, especially before he gets bigger. If he gets bigger, you know what I'm trying to say? Because to leave her will cost him.
It's going
to
cost him a lot.
And the longer he waits, is the more it's going to cost him. You know.
And better not have children.
Oh God! If they have children, it's over. It's over. It's absolutely over. Absolutely over for him. So hopefully he leaves, or maybe she changes. I don't know. I don't know at all. But if I was her, this is my last. If I was her, I'd be kissing his feet because he's probably the best you can get at this particular stage. I highly doubt you're going to be able to get anything. You know, because he's
especially now.
Yeah, yeah.
With your business all aired out like this.
Mm-hmm. So, final thoughts, Manny?
For me, this is a perfect situation where each member
perfect store.
Each individual here needs some form of therapy.
Oh yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because if should their marriage end or whatever the case is, he's already shown his ass that this is the kind of shit that he's going to allow to happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen again with the next person. And again, and again, and again. And he needs to find out the root form and cause that allows him to be this way.
Well, it's easy. It's low self-esteem.
Well, yeah. And
that's literally what it is.
How to climb over that hurdle.
You know, it takes some time. Sometimes it takes guys 20 years.
She is just a horrible fucking person, and she needs to find out where that started from, if she cares at all.
Oh, so sense of entitlement. It's called pretty girl privilege. She thinks she's pretty. She knows she's pretty, and so she believes she's privileged. It's called pretty girl privilege.
If she doesn't seek therapy, then somebody's going to have to knock her off of that damn high horse and pedestal that she's built on herself on, because it ain't that serious. You can be the most beautiful person in the world, but to me, if you got a shit attitude, you are an ugly person inside. I'm sorry. That's just how I hold it down.
that is how Manny holds it down. And that's the fight. Should have ended it right there. You see, that's how I hold it down. You know what? Here we go. And so that's a wrap for Last of the Nice Guys podcast. Yeah, I'm Jason, that's Manny, and this is how we hold it down.
The Last of the Nice Guys. Follow, like, and subscribe on Twitter and Instagram at Last Nice Guys. Facebook.com/Last Nice Guys. Or email lastofthenice guys@yahoo.com.
This is an audio production of Vibe Revelation Studios, the cure for your common day. VibeRevStudios.com.